Welcome to a Nerd Science episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight I'm joined by @agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody? We still got really, really loud sound effects this week.
Bump hard with the Bose system.
That's right. Turn it up.
And we also have Roddy Cat here joining us.
Greetings, everybody.
That's @RoddyCat on Twitter.
It is indeed.
And not here tonight, but we also want to mention our other co-hosts, @PCN_Dirt on Twitter. Who is at some type of concert tonight.
Enjoying himself, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully he has a good time. And he did let us know what his click of the week is for this week, so we'll reveal that later on in the show. And make sure to go to Dirt's website, popculturenetwork.com. And, of course, go to dclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. Follow the Twitter account, @dclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/dclicknation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/dclicknation. Subscribe also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for The Click Nation. Circle us on Google Plus, search for The Click Nation, and make sure to join the community. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on your favorite social media websites. Remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com.
And check out our umbrella network, the Cold Slither Podcast Network, at coldslitherpodcast.com.
Thank you. All right, let's get into
it. We still have to get used to putting that one in.
Well, it actually came in my mind. I was going to drop it during the show, but.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, because I saw Classic actually just shared the link for tonight's show, so.
There you go.
As Agent 70 said, go to coldslitherpodcast.com. Follow Classic on @ClassicMateria, @ColdSlitherPod. Let's see, news for this week starts with Sony linking some of their Spider-Man-related universe movie news. So Sony reportedly is planning a female-led Marvel superhero movie for 2017. Which has people speculating on, is it Black Cat? Is it Spider-Woman? Even though, would Spider-Woman really fall under the Spider-Man umbrella? But I guess...
It depends on the licensing.
Yeah.
It does depend on the license. Because, you know, thinking back on when Sony acquired the license, this is pre, you know, Avengers blowing up. You know, in the books, forget the movie. So who knows what's in the licensing agreement? If they're smart, they probably do include Spider-Woman so that there's no confusion, you know, potential confusion. I can hear the lawyers drafting that now.
So, and that I believe this movie would take place before Amazing Spider-Man number 3, because I think that was moved to 2018, right?
Yeah, almost indefinitely put off the schedule.
So, the race is on for which studio will release a female-led solo movie.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously, what do you guys think is going to be the first one?
For
any studio.
I don't know. That's there's that list of whatever, but I don't know.
Wonder Woman, I think.
You think Wonder Woman's going to beat them all to the studio? To theaters?
Yeah.
That's a bold prediction. I can't go with you on that one.
Yeah, I was about to say, because my gut says Black Widow, because they have a star in place and they don't necessarily have to pay that much for effects.
And actually, I think I did see something about a treatment was done for it.
I'm going to go with the biggest woman superhero name that's out there and say somehow, some way.
She-Hulk?
WB.
Yeah, right?
WB and DC get it done.
All right.
And actually, I'm going to work on I got someone online to make me a spreadsheet that has all the future, at least Marvel and DC movies filled, you know, the unannounced dates. So I'm going to try to go through and put what movies I think will be slotted in those spots.
Actually, I just put something in the lineup that's might be similar to that.
So, and I'm leaving out I saw some other people doing sort of the same thing, but they included the Sony and Fox movies. So I'm going to leave them out for my list because I don't care about them.
Yeah.
Okay, we have IDW to create U.S. TV and comic book adaptations of Douglas Adams' Dirk Gently's Detective Agency.
Okay.
Howard the Duck Omnibus returns to print and digital.
Wonder why.
Yes, I wonder. Dun.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm not even sure how to treat that. That might be...
They're falling in that category.
Yeah, and it's kind of been around. But I will say this, though. I found out that August 1st was... August 1st was the anniversary of Howard the Duck movie coming out. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, wow.
Back in 86, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of, well, actually not speaking of it, but now I'm kind of bringing it up. Everyone should go find a YouTube video of Chris Pratt rapping to Slim Shady, Everyone Forgot About Dre.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched it yet. I got to watch that tonight.
It's good.
I heard he's spot on.
Yeah, I shared it on Facebook.
That's cool.
So you can search that. Not you people watching on video or listening to the audio.
Now. Not now. Wait until after we're done.
Yeah. James Gunn interested in Thunderbolts movie.
I figured that would you'd appreciate that one.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I could see Thunderbolts eventually making it like Phase 5. They'd have to, I guess they could do a movie adaptation version of, like, all the different villains that have been introduced, forming a team. Because I can say, I'd like it first if the Avengers or the heroes fought these guys and then eventually they turned good or tried to be good.
Yeah, you see Amanda Waller at the end of the film just kind of come in and recruit or something.
Mm. Wrong universe.
Yeah, right?
Hey, you know. Ideas are universal, sir.
That's funny.
Young Justice returns to TV with Teen Titans Go crossover. Boo!
I know you're a fan of Young Justice, but at least they're coming back at some point.
And Teen Titans Go is not a bad show. It's actually pretty good for something completely different.
And I'm going to jump ahead and bring up some news that just broke, I see. Henry Simmons and Kyle McLachlan join Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's pretty cool.
Huh, okay.
That's pretty cool. If you remember Simmons from NYPD Blue.
Yeah. I'm looking at their pictures, so if I just saw the names, I wouldn't know who either of these gentlemen were.
Well, all the fans would know Kyle McLachlan from Twin Peaks, so. Mm.
There you go. I'm glad to see that they're still getting actors with like a real positive, or at least, extensive, experience to be on this show. You know, I'm wondering if they're not looking at it as like a way to revitalize their Q rating. You know what I mean? Like their exposure saying, oh, I'm going to get on this show because there's definitely going to be people watching, you know, either to critique it because it's not enough comic booky or to laud it for, you know, being what it is.
Yeah, there's probably going to be some of that going on.
That reminds me of how, like, B and C list celebrities want to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Right. Right, because people still watch it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did they ever say who was going to play Mockingbird? Not yet.
Not yet.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Let's see. So, yeah, so I guess if somehow someone reminds me that the Teen Titans episode, Teen Titans Go episode with Young Justice is on, I'll watch. But more than likely, I'll miss it. DC Comics artist redesigned Monster Serial characters.
That was silly. But I like these. I like that these serials come back for Halloween.
Yeah, really. Unfortunately, they don't taste quite the same.
Mm. I haven't tried them in a long time, but it's nice that they come back.
Yeah, I tried them last year when it brought them back out. Like, you know, moving right along.
Yeah.
Classic material. Or Materia tweet said as Kyle MacLachlan was the bomb in Dune way back in the day.
Yep. That's good. Yeah, so we have some more movie related news. I didn't realize this. I didn't have a chance to read this. I saw a post on Facebook about it. Marvel gets back the Blade, Punisher, and Ghost Rider movie rights.
Right.
I thought they had the Punisher movie rights.
I thought they had Blade back.
I think all that is old news, because I remember hearing about that a while ago.
No, but I mean, why did it come? I mean, my gut says the Ghost Rider one is the news, because the remake, the sequel to Ghost Rider wasn't all that long ago. So I guess at some point, you know, Marvel reacquired the rights afterwards, right? I know Punisher. They've put out their own Punisher. That was the Ray Stevenson one, right?
I wasn't really paying attention since I never watched it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I only saw the first one with Dolph Lundgren, so I don't.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm embittered by that one.
The one with what's his name?
Thomas Jane.
Yeah, with Thomas Jane wasn't bad because it was based on the Garth Ennis stuff. But, the fact that it wasn't in New York City killed it for me. The Batman-Superman movie, big move. I thought it was strategic. I thought it was the smart thing to do, but the Marvel fanboy in me was like, get the hell away from the Captain America release date.
Yeah, I think I would like to believe that was like a mutual understanding between both parties. Like,
look, it's economics.
You have this one. Yeah, you have this one. We'll take this one.
Why split the money? There's only so much money to go out there. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Not everyone can afford to go to two movies at once unless they're just skipping theaters. You know.
Yeah. Plus, there's so many movies moving around now. Just you kind of gotta do what you can.
Exactly.
I was kind of hoping they both keep the same day just so I
really
can, yeah, I want to see the Rebel.
Ah.
You're gonna see Rebel, it either Rebel, way. Rebel.
That's what I'm saying. People are gonna see both of them either way. They're gonna see one day, one the other day.
Yeah, but you have to choose which one on that day, unless you happen to be in a theater that's got both of them sneaking in.
All that matters is at the end of the weekend, the weekend box office number.
Yeah, but not everybody. I think a lot of people fall into the one weekend and one the other weekend, but you know, it's all about who wins the weekend.
Yeah, I know everyone doesn't rush to the theater like I do, but.
Well, no, you know what? I love to rush to the theater like you do. You know, I used to do that for some movies, you know? But.
I mostly do it so I can watch it before someone spoils it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, there's some sci-fi people I know that does that same thing, so.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. All righty. What else we have here? Oh, you guys were talking about this before, the scheduling, you know, keeping up with the movies.
Oh, yeah. So speaking of which, so yeah, we are. Yeah. So we mentioned how Batman vs. Superman is going to move to March to avoid Captain America 3.
Suck it. Batman. Superman. Sorry.
Along with that news came that Warner Brothers announced 10 future film releases with unannounced titles. They just claim 10 dates in the future going up to 2020, I believe.
That is right.
What can this mean? What movies can we be getting or will we be getting?
Now, there is some suggestion that some of that stuff, like the WB unannounced ones, or may not necessarily be DC stuff.
Like Harry Potter stuff?
Right.
Oh.
Because I think there might be two Harry Potter movies in the works or something.
Yeah. Two more movies I'll be forced to watch 10 years down
the line. Luckily, we don't see anything flying into Tim's view.
And she's not here, thankfully.
Oh, no. What, you're not a fan of Harry Potter, but she is?
Yes.
It's pretty good, Tim. You should give it a shot.
I mean, we've watched up to movie 4, maybe.
You haven't watched all of them? Damn, yo.
Restraint.
You can't, you know, it has to be a slow process. We watched that, whichever one we, the dude from Twilight died.
Oh, okay. She hasn't put the books in front of you yet. Forced them on your Kindle or your Kindle app.
I got too many comics to read. She knows better than that.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's a slow burn. Those moves along.
Yeah. So yes, future movies.
Yeah. Again, I guess since we're on that movie, on that note, are we still on that or we're going on?
No, just finish it up. Wrap it up with the schedule.
Okay, I was about to say, I just put something in there that says there's 40 DC and Marvel movies that will hit theaters in the next 6 years.
Damn.
And I think Marvel has the schedule going farther than that, I believe. Like, I think they got something going up to 2027 from what I've seen for what they're planning. So,
that includes the Sonys and Foxes.
Right. Probably, yeah.
It has to.
So all I'm just saying is strap in.
It has to, because I remember seeing that Marvel Studios is only churning out like one a year or something like that.
Two a year.
Yeah, exactly. So in order to fit that number, and you got to use Sony and Fox as well.
And let's see. So get 100 free Archie comics when you download the new Archie Comics digital app.
Nice.
I downloaded that app, but I didn't actually look through it. So, maybe report it some other time.
And for you NFL fans, make sure to get the NFL Now app, which I think just was released today.
Really?
Yep. And they got it, I think, on like streaming devices like Roku, which I need to go and download it and see if it works on there. Mm. And it's like a bunch of like videos, sort of like the NFL film stuff is on there. And I think there's like $1.99 monthly subscription, which gets you more stuff.
Hmm. Oh, is that also, that's also the one that's with Xbox, it's on Xbox and all that, right? Cause I did see some problems, I guess. Yeah. Oh, and also with that Archie Comics one, they also have an unlimited read thing for like $6 a month.
Nice.
So
Those little Archie digests are expensive. So this is definitely, if you're, depending on the content, which I'm assuming is going to be all there, that actually is really worthwhile for an Archie fan.
Yeah. And for what you get in those digests, it still works out. Cause I remember getting those things when I was little and having a flat out ball.
And let's see. And last but not least, Marvel Entertainment was sued by an unpaid intern.
Lame.
There's probably so much of this that happens that you just don't hear about.
Right? Yeah, the fact that this one came out, I guess, may speak something. I don't know, or maybe it's just because hey, there's a lot of Marvel news and whatnot still hot in people's brains.
Yeah, I think that's more right. I think it's more Guardians fallout in the sense that, everyone sees that the numbers are just staggering for what, no one has suspected would be a big movie. So throwing Marvel's name out there just is bound to garner clicks, right? It's like clickbait.
Yeah. And I can't imagine this was from like 2008. So I realize legal proceedings can stretch out, but this seems just a little too, well, I guess they could have done it in a couple of different times before now, but it seems kind of weird.
Well, you know, listen, when you're an intern, it's kind of presumed that you're unpaid. You know what I mean?
Right.
Anyway, I'm not going to get into the legalities of it. I could be here all night.
Well, see, that's actually kind of the other thing, though. It's like, depending on what they were doing in their internship, could have played in the part, because maybe they were like booking up, just like, well, why don't I have a book or something by now, or why am I not on in some capacity?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna get what I can get from legalese.
Yep. All right. Any other news that we missed?
That's it for me.
Nah, I think that's about. Well, there are the obvious videos out there with Easter eggs from almost every movie that are out there. There's one that goes from Iron Man to Thor: The Dark World, and I think there's also, yeah, there's one from Guardians that are out there. So hit your YouTubes up if you want to see those. And they pretty much have like all the Easter eggs that's been in the movies that pop up in the background and whatnot.
Nice. Yeah. Of the crew that's here tonight, I have yet to see Guardians. I plan on seeing it tomorrow, so let's try not to spoil it for this agent here.
Yeah, nah, no worries.
Okay.
I don't think there's much to be said that hasn't already said. And we kind of spoke a little bit about it beforehand.
Got it.
Tiptoed around.
Exactly. Let's not spoil it. That goes to everyone out there on social media. Now it's all going to come bombarding into my feed, right?
I don't know. Usually my thing is they give you to the weekend. And
yeah, if you've gotten this far, you've done pretty good.
Right.
You know, I try not to spoil anything through the opening weekend. After that, I can't make any profit.
You can't hold it anymore.
Actually, I've just learned just not even talk. Unless someone like brings it up to me, I hardly even give like my opinion, because I feel like some people don't even want to hear opinions. Mm-hmm. Because like if everyone loves it, they're going with high expectations and then not enjoy it.
You know what? I was going to say this earlier. I still think, you know what? Even if you didn't like it as much as everybody else proclaims to, you know what? Your opinion is valid. So, and that kind of balances it out.
This is true.
Absolutely.
Classic Material says, I heard Yondu's in this one. Spoiler.
Nice. That's funny.
What books do we want to bring up first this week? I kind of want to hear about New 52 Futures End number 14.
Oh, Lord. You're going to make me bring that one up first? All right, hold on.
Yeah, talk about a book I'm not reading anymore.
I love it. Let me pull it up for a second. All right, let's see here.
Maybe I can put the... Can I put it up on my screen like Dirt does? Let me see. Actually, that's going to be too much work. Let's see. Where is it? New
52 Futures End number 14. All right. As I pull it up, it's pulling up. It's taking its sweet time. Oh, yes. Okay. So in the 14th issue of this weekly dragging series, Lord, it is dragging. So... we still, you know, there's lots of moving parts 5 years into the future in the new 52 DC universe. We have the reappearance of new god Big Barda, and you know, basically there's factions and groups starting to move together and do things, but these things still don't make sense. Even if you have been reading along faithfully every week, you know, we still don't completely understand why some characters are doing what they're doing, i.e. Terry McGinnis, who we all know as Batman Beyond, what he's planning to do with or trying to break into Terrificatech, which is where Mr. Terrific – is it Mr. Terrific?
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Terrific is kind of like, you know, playing a jerky version of himself. You know – there's not it's so very hard to describe what's going on right now in this book. You know, I almost feel like if you've missed two or three issues, you might as well just go back. It's hard to pick up at this point. There's so many obscure characters in this, and you know, I think that what they're using this for is as a vehicle to introduce the tertiary and even, you know, fourth level and below characters in the DC universe into the New 52, and that's sort of becoming you know, a vehicle for that more so than telling a story that's cohesive. You know, so it's tough. I, you know, honestly, maybe I'm just not cut out for this weekly grind. You know, I didn't follow along with what was their first attempt at the weekly book? I forget what it was called.
Batman Eternal.
No, before that.
Oh, wasn't 52, there? Wasn't it?
Yeah, 52, exactly. 52 itself. I didn't follow that, so I'm not very. I'm not used to the you know, how this the books are really, you know, are, you know, you have to not miss. You know, you have to basically read every issue to follow along, and I think Batman Eternal is structured a little bit better than this. It's a little easier to follow, but I think it's because it's less world spanning. It's a little easier to follow than Future's End.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to bring up Tech Jacket number 2.
No kidding.
From Image Comics.
Okay.
From the creative team of Joe Keating and Carrie Randolph, who I met at Heroes Con.
Cool, nice. Dude.
Who I still need to finish that post. Now it's just a matter of actually remembering what happened that weekend.
You know what? After the show, I'm going to suggest something to you, but we'll do that later.
Okay. But back to Tech Jacket. So I don't know anything about Tech Jacket going into this relaunch series, except that it's under the Skybound imprint from Robert Kirkman. He's, I guess, sort of tied to the Invincible universe, I believe. Don't quote me on that. But either way, it's like a teenager in a robotic suit, kind of like Iron Man, that speaks to him. And I guess he sort of like patrols space and protects Earth from cosmic threats. His dad helps him. And there's something, there's this this threat out in space that he goes to investigate. This is all from issue 1. And then There's like a side story of this like rich guy that I think wants the suit. And so this issue picks up where Tech Jacket is being like sucked into this mass of, at first you're not sure what it is. It just like, it looks like he's being swallowed. But then once he, I guess, gets fully inside, he thinks he's being eaten because the insides are kind of like squishy and whatnot. But then I guess when he's like digested, he finds like another like secret civilization inside the big mass of stuff. And I can't remember how it ended now. I read this earlier in the week. I can't remember how it ended, but I enjoy Carrie Randolph's art. It's kinetic, kind of reminds me, has a little of Humberto Ramos kind of to me. It was kind of cartoonish. A little Ryan Otley you see in it too. They kind of favor each other. And Keating's, I haven't read much of Keating's work. Some of it I haven't been super crazy about. I haven't like hated it, but it's just been like, eh, that's okay. Because I know he was doing the Morbius comic when the Living Vampire series, and he's got his Shudder book out right now for Image, which I read the first issue and it was fine. But he writes a fun book that I was going to say kids of any age could read, but I'm not sure. I can't remember if there's any bad language in it right now or not. But sort of like a family book, him, Tech Jacket, his dad is kind of like his handler. They have like this spaceship up in space that they work out of. And his mom made an appearance in this previous issue because it was his birthday and he was missing his birthday because he was out finding space, and his dad ended up eating his birthday cake because he was like, he's going to be late and the cake's going to go bad. Someone's got to eat it.
That's funny.
The wife's all mad at him because she's like, our baby could be in danger and you're sitting here eating this cake.
Priorities, people.
Yeah. So, like I said, there's that kind of fun in the book.
That's cool.
Yeah, I've been meaning to check this one out. I'm going to have to get into it.
Okay. All right. What do you have, Roddy?
Let's go into... Big Trouble in Little China number 3, I guess. Start out kind of fun. So this is the continuing adventures of Mr. Jack Burton and Action as they're trying to save Wang from some demon or something that's got him held hostage. Egg and Jack went on some journey to find these pots or whatever the case may be just so that the demon wanted. And in usual Jack Burton style, he has his little non-sequiturs and apparently an ex-wife every issue, it seems like at this point. But there's always some story about something and what have you. But like I said, it's a pretty good read, and the art is really nice. And if you've ever been a fan of, or have seen the movie Big Trouble in Little China, pick up this book because all of the beats are there for fans, and that's what I like about it. So there was nothing really specifically crazy happening, except for they found what they were looking for, and you know, like I said, it was dealt with in the manner of Jack Burton, let's just say.
Cool. All right. Let me throw something out that we all read. How about Grayson number 2?
Yes, the Winter Robin.
Yes, nice. Yeah. I like that. I was just reading your notes. I like that, the Winter Robin.
Good. Funny.
And the crowd roars. I like that. So what did you guys think of this? I was more interested in like the there's a couple of scenes where he's chit-chatting with Batman, checking in with home base. I was actually more interested in that than I was in the rest of the story, which is kind of gross, to be perfectly honest.
What, the story or the...
Yeah, the story. This particular story.
I said they didn't waste any time with the... Dick doesn't approve of Spiral's methods.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that was all of that in there. And I'm coming in like really, really fresh on this one. I thought it was, yeah. That's, I know the gross stuff. Now to think about it, the gross stuff you're talking about. Yeah, I figured it was kind of gonna be some kind of stuff. Having read that, like reading back to back, I was getting more of an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. vibe also from that.
Hmm. I can see that.
It's basically
I want to make that connection.
Well, it was kind of like the kind of stuff that they're going after, and you know, and maybe the overarching plot may not be, but
right, yeah, because of the whole
the right. mission they're making, it was kind of just had that vibe to me.
Right, and they're looking for an artifact that mm-hmm. that has certain properties. Yeah, you know, now I see it, and I definitely see that. I can see that. That makes some sense.
So, and luckily I was aware of the new Huntress before reading this, because I was like, wait a minute, who the heck is this chick? But okay. Mm-hmm.
Right, I had to learn that my first, actually I think the first show that we did when we reviewed it, I learned that was actually supposed to be the new Huntress.
Right.
Okay. I like Matt. Is it Mike Janin or Janel? I forget the artist. I think it's Janin. Hopefully I got that right. His art.
No, it's good.
Oh yeah.
Great. Yeah, I was hoping I was saying his name right.
It's good. Let me see if I can pull it up and so we can confirm it at least.
Cool.
You know, there's a couple of nice. Yeah.
Michael, probably Michael Janin.
Or Mikkel?
Mikkel.
Yeah, M-I-K-E-L? Yeah, Mikkel probably. Yeah, no, it's pretty sharp. It's pretty sharp.
Yeah, there's definitely some good stuff there. So yeah, I don't know.
The squiggly faces are still off-putting too.
Yeah,
see that spiral part, faces. Yeah.
See that part until I read a certain part. I was like, oh, okay. Because I was like, wait, what's going on here with this dude? And then I read that part. I was like, okay, I see.
I wonder if the guy over Spiral is going to be like revealed at once his face is unsquiggly to be like some person we recognize.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering too. So I would imagine it would have to, well, it doesn't necessarily have to be, but it would probably have to be somebody of note. I mean, if they just made somebody new and didn't and just mire them like, you know, just hide them like that, it didn't seem like they would need to.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just some unknown, you know, coming out the woodwork or somebody new.
Okay. Superior Spider-Man number 32.
All right.
Might be my click of the week.
No kidding.
I enjoyed this. It made me realize how much I've missed Spidey-Ock.
Aww.
Being a...
I was about to say, Dirt would be happy to hear that. I hope.
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't make this his click of the week. He probably didn't have enough time to read it, though.
Maybe.
But, yeah, seeing the prick Peter Parker back and being condescending to people. And this is probably some of the best artwork that... Kevin Coley's done, because I didn't really enjoy his final work on the last arc of Superior Spider-Man, the Goblin Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really do much for me, but I don't know if it maybe a different inker. I probably need to go back and look at that, but his art was like back to how it was when I was digging his art on Superior Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man.
Right. I was going to say that's definitely something you got to look into. You got to see who's inking it. And also you wonder, since this book has been, you know, there's been a lot of time between the ending of Superior and this issue, maybe it's just a matter of him having a lot of time to put into this book, that not having that monthly grind.
That's true. Because there was even – so I think Superior was like bi-weekly back at that point.
Right. So, you know, you wonder maybe – On a regular monthly schedule or even in a longer schedule to put this book together, he was able to put together something that looks very finished.
And I wonder if he had someone doing finishes on his work. It's like I remember reading that somewhere. Anyway, but and also speaking of art, Adam Kubert did a backup story on this, which was great too. And I remember liking Andy Kubert's art a lot more than Adam, but Adam, he brought it this issue. And this is a Spider-Verse tie-in kind of.
I was about to ask.
Yeah. I'm the opposite. I'm a bigger fan of Adam rather than Andy.
Yeah, Adam might have changed my mind, at least here. I like the Spider-Man that he drew that didn't have the webbing on his mask. He used that a red mask.
Right.
Liked his design. So, yeah, we have a couple of Spider-Men appearing in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Superior Spider-Man 32 involves the time period. I think they said back in Superior Spider-Man number 19 when Doc Ock disappeared for an hour and came back.
I think it was a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
He was sent to the future.
Mm.
And then he has to find his way back.
Mm-hmm. I'm liking this cover. I'm looking at the can't bring it up.
It's not that cover. That's not the cover, is it?
What's that?
That's the alternate cover, I think.
Yeah, but that's the alternate.
No, not that one that I have up. I'm on comics. I was just looking at the cover.
I was just the cover for it.
Yeah. Good. So, but anyway, so good read, needless to say, or.
It was good. It's not my click of the week, but I can see where Tim is coming from on this.
I enjoyed it.
You know, I still want to stab, you know, Spidey Ock through the page, you know, through the screen. So, you know, that's my attitude. That's my feeling on it. All right, cool. How about we stick to Spider-Man? Did you guys read? What was it called this week? Miles Morales? I didn't even put it up on my list.
Oh, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yes. Yes, did you guys read that?
I read it.
How about you, Roddy?
No.
So, I enjoyed this book. This definitely was close to being a click of the week for me. Basically, once you get past the first two pages where you're dealing with, you know, spoiler alert, the Ultimate Universe is Kate Bishop being Miles Morales' girlfriend, and there's some, you know, that she's dealing with Miles giving her some news in the last issue. And once you get past those two pages, it's, you know, it's a lot of action, lots of drama, lots of, you know, mouth dropping sections. You're just like, oh, okay, that, you know, that was actually a nice way that, you know, that Bendis and David Marquez, who's doing phenomenal work on this book, you know, really set up a couple of these pages and, you know, and set up a couple of these sequences and panels so well, you know, that I just enjoyed reading it. And there's a reveal here. And if this is the way, Bendis is going to play out the ultimate version of, you know, Miles Morales' clone saga, then, you know, this is actually pretty interesting.
I thought they already did the clone saga.
Right, but I think I'm saying that's why
Miles Morales version.
Exactly, Miles Morales' version of the clone saga.
So, was it me, or did it seem like they were seeding something involving Kate Bishop's parents? Or was I just reading that totally wrong?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I wasn't a fan of the sister.
Because they were like, you know, oh, the parents are going to kill you and him. And I was like, why would they be mad at Miles?
I don't know.
Maybe they literally want to kill, after if they find out they literally would want to kill him if they were supervillains.
You've been reading Runaways, I dig it.
I kind of hope it's not true, because I want to use that in a future story of my own. That would be perfect.
You know what? There is nothing stopping you from doing that within the time frame.
That's right. But in all seriousness, you know, I enjoyed this book. Like I said, Marquez is doing a knockout job. There's a great panel where you know, it's a time honored sequence where basically, and Tim, when I mention it, when I clue you in, you'll understand, you'll remember, wait for it. And there's just a couple of great panels, and I found myself laughing and just excited to see what would happen next. And I really dig that. So, and again, there's, you know, maybe I learned to appreciate Ultimate Spider-Man later on in the run. You know, like I've mentioned on the show that I binge read the entire series just to see how Bendis treated Peter Parker, you know, gaining his powers and then ultimately dying in defense of Forest Hills. And, you know, I guess I got a little bit more attached to, like, the emotion of the of his passing because of how condensed my reading of the whole story was. So, you know, it kind of hit me a little bit, you know, and you know, there's a couple of great pages drawn by Marquez where you see everyone's reaction to certain things happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, that's really well done. And I give Marquez a lot of credit with that.
You just reminded me that I have Marvel Unlimited and I could go back and read all of Ultimate Spider-Man.
There you go. I mean, if you didn't read it, you know, when it was coming out, you can definitely read it now.
I read bits and pieces of it from my brother.
There you go. And like I said, it's something that, you know, when you have it at the ready, you can actually read, because of the way it's written, you know, in today's arc-driven storylines, you know, arc-driven writing, you can read it, you know, it's almost like binge-watching TV. You can binge-read some of the, you know, like Ultimate Spider-Man, and just sit down and just, you know, flip through it, you know, all day.
Yeah, I haven't fully adopted binge anything yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I multitask way too much. I need to, like, focus on one thing at a time.
Well, I mean, I don't do it often. I definitely can tell you that I binge watched Breaking Bad, gotten caught up and, you know, that was fun, although, you know, definitely sore on your buttocks. you know,
nice.
But you can do, you know, it can be done, especially if the media or whatever it is you're trying to take in is really absorbing.
Yeah, books, you can do it slightly easy. Like I did this wasn't much of a run. Like I did a mini series in like a couple of hours, like a couple of days ago, trying to get propped up for another binge, attempted binge run of an event. But yeah, like I said, if the story is engaging, you can kind of blow through it and, you know, what have
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
It's still a hard proposition.
All right. So this is very, very close to my click of the week. I may reconsider, but this is definitely one of my candidates because of just how much I enjoyed the you know, where the story was going, how fast-paced it was, and Marquez's art was killer on this book.
As always.
Yep. All righty. Who's up next?
Me.
Go ahead.
So speaking of potential clicks of the week, we have Iron Fist, the Living Weapon, number 5. Wait.
Ooh.
5 or 6. I might have put it wrong. Either way.
Either way, this week's issue of Iron Fist.
Yes. This was a really pretty good issue. So
come on, Eclectic. Jump on.
Yeah. So this issue takes place right after Danny is back in Kunlun and is fighting not well someone who may or may not be his father.
Right.
But he's being antagonized, and in this issue, I have said back in issue number 1, Danny is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking mentally this time. I mean literally, because he's pretty much being taken apart. Not actually limb by limb, but the fight's not going well for him.
Right.
Let's just say. But the beautiful thing about this is you kind of see, like, look, Danny is still fighting, and you know, even though he's, you know, losing, he's fighting and keeps going on. But in the midst of him kind of almost giving up, he has this flashback that kind of gives him some insight as to who he's fighting and potentially how he's going to end up beating him. That part I don't know. But the other thing that you see in this issue is that the women that are around Danny are pretty strong in their own ways. And that was the other thing I kind of liked about this book, because you see the young monk that came and got him pie, you know, showing some signs of some strength, and the lady friend Danny has taken up with, as they two are trying to escape a hospital that got attacked, trying to get Tupai.
Right. See, now, that one kind of threw me off a little bit. The blonde chick.
Yeah.
Right? That one threw me off. Like, Pei was, you know, like, she's come from Kunlun. She's, you know, she's like, she's like, I'm a warrior of Kunlun. There was a great line in here about the open fist, open hand and
yes.
closed fist. That was awesome.
I love that line, yeah. I was like, all right, she's about to get hers.
Right, exactly. That was awesome. You know, like the, you know, she's like, I'm Pei, warrior of Kunlun, child of a Shu Lao. I was like, there you go. This is the way it's supposed to be. That's like, you know, like Maximus in Gladiator, you know?
Right. There were little touches like that in this book that I just loved.
Right. But then, you know, like the blonde chick, you know, the reporter, right? She's a reporter, I think.
Yes, she is, right. But I'm thinking there may be a little bit more to her.
Right. Well, yeah, I think that's what they're trying to get to in this issue, because all of a sudden she's kicking butt and taking names.
Well, and you can kind of see swords. And you can kind of see it in the last issue also, because you remember they had the little sparring thing going
on. Correct. Correct. Now I remember that.
Yeah. So that is kind of telling me that there may be a little bit more to her than we're
that meets the eye. Right.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get to see that, which I was glad, because from that first issue, I was like, okay, she needs to go and go and not come back.
So, I definitely agree with you on this book. This was a good read. I liked this. This was a good cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
I like the cliffhanger in this book. Some of the books that we've read this week, Miles Morales, just talked about, the cliffhanger was good, but I really like the cliffhanger in this book.
Right. Because you figure, well, hey, this is about to go one way, and then it doesn't, which I guess you can kind of figure it probably wasn't going to go the way you were being led to believe.
Right.
So, but the only thing I didn't like about this book is there are certain places, which I guess has been a thing for the series the whole time, is that there are panels that are kind of hard to follow in cases.
Yeah, that's Eclectic's biggest critique on this book. Yeah. Is that the art, Kari Andrews' art, is just sometimes hard to follow.
It's a bit busy, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is real nice and real detailed sometimes, but sometimes to a fault.
Right. It's almost too design-oriented as opposed to storytelling.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's not – the storytelling sometimes is not that clear, but, you know, my strategy with books like this is to look at it as a whole and then try to read it panel by panel.
Right.
To try to absorb, like, you know, if they're trying to, you know, what he's trying to do in terms of like a design or some sort of like aesthetic for the page, yeah. And then try to follow what I'm supposed to be reading. So, you know, maybe it's just my different approach, like, sort of helps, you know, me digest these pages, you know, when they're done like this.
Yeah, because I just want to find myself kind of going back a panel to him, like, okay, what happened from here to here? But okay.
Right. Yeah. Right, right, right. No, I can definitely sympathize with you on that. All right, cool. Cool, cool. I like that potential click of the week candidate.
Yeah, it was really good.
I like it. I like it. Did anyone read Moon Knight number 6?
I did.
All right. No. So this is it's kind of an interesting trope that we're exploring here. Kind of the wannabe.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen, you know, stories like this before where you get the wannabe who wants to be just like, you know, I guess the main protagonist or even an antagonist in the story. And you get to see where, you know, where that type of, you know, where the wannabe urge comes from. And, you know, I thought that was an interesting study. This type of character and this type of like I said, we've seen this before. It's not the first time. It's almost like a variation of Kick-Ass.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that.
You know, but what's well done about this is that they do wrap. You know, they do bring in, you know, aspects of the Moon Knight, the Mark Spector character. I like the appearance that Marlene Alron makes, you know, I'm like, oh wait, Marlene is, you know, she's back. That's awesome. And they reveal something about Moon Knight's ex-pilot that I don't think was known, unless it might have been known. And
yeah,
he could have been out of the closet, you know. Spoiler alert.
Right.
You know, way back when, but maybe I just didn't realize it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was like, okay, is that new or is that something? You know, okay, sure.
exactly. It's like, what? Okay.
He could have been a human for all we knew. I don't know.
Exactly. So, you know, this is the last issue for Warren Ellis and Declan Shalvey.
Which apparently was the plan all along.
Exactly. As they move on to create their own work. But, yeah. I think that they've left this particular iteration of Moon Knight in a good place.
Yeah, I can see that. Though the thing that kind of – it's not necessarily a problem because obviously it is the fact that they are ending their run of the book was, did it feel slightly rushed to you from getting from the beginning of the book to the end? Recognizing that this was – you know, this was it, and they weren't going to have any more time with it.
Honestly, no, because I thought that they did a good job of, you know, like I said, telling the story of the wannabe.
Right. I mean, yeah, it was plausible, but it was like a couple of cases. Like, even when he was talking to his lady from wherever that was.
Right.
It just kind of felt like, okay, recognize this, how long this is. How do you get from here to there just that quick? Mm-hmm. You know? And that could be just me thinking that, because it was like, there's logical leaps you make, and sometimes you can't get there. It shouldn't take that easy to get there. But like, in the midst of storytelling, you gotta do what you gotta have to do.
Gotcha. No, I didn't notice it. You know, I didn't really notice that. I thought that, you know, I didn't think there were too many, you know, gaps in the logic in the story.
Right. It was still paced pretty good for right. even with that.
Right. So, you know, honestly, the way this book is read, issues 1 through 6, you know, because they're pretty much self-contained, although mm-hmm. although there are, you know, they are establishing, you know, the current status quo of Moon Knight in these 6 issues, like, you know, like where some of the old characters are, where Moon Knight is sort of right now as this Mr. Knight character, you know, as kind of like a PI slash, you know, assistant to, you know, like a, like kind of special, operative who, you know, I mean, maybe a independent contractor might be the best way to put it, you know, yeah. who helps out the cops. So, you know, it's kind of cool that way that, you know, it's kind of a cool new status quo for Moon Knight. And yeah. they still have the crazy.
Are you going to keep reading when Brian Wood takes over?
I think so.
And they are, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I like where they have brought, what they've brought to the table and where they have set up Moon Knight in the current Marvel U. So, I like his status quo. It's not as superhero-y as it used to be, and I like where it is right now.
Yeah, and they are taking great steps to kind of get you to come back, because if you notice, behind, you know, after the story, they gave you the preview pages of what's to come.
Yes.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. Yes, they do. And, you know, tonally it's not different. You know, right. they're still maintaining the Mr. Knight persona or aspect of the Moon Knight character. So, you know, that's nice to see. And I'm willing to give it another, you know, to keep going with it.
Yeah, and as am I, because I was like, the preview pages only say so much, and I was kind of just kind of curious as to what Brian Wood's going to bring to the table on this one. So,
I mean, personally, I was glad to see that he wasn't in the regular Moon Knight costume. You know, I was glad yeah. that they were continuing that. So,
okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's see, what can I bring up? Go to my list. Oops, down. I'll bring up Dirt's Click of the Week, which was New Avengers number 22.
Yes.
Which is, I guess, ends the current story arc with the Illuminati Avengers taking on the Justice League equivalent from the other Earth.
Right.
And the heinous action that was taken at the end of last issue that carries over to this issue. And we finally get some Black Panther versus Namor action, but not really because it doesn't last too long.
But it was still good.
Right, right. And they finally bring up the reveal, you know, from Infinity. You knew that was going to come back at some point.
What was it from Infinity? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that was seeded.
Yeah, that was a long
time. You knew it was going to
come back. Exactly. Like, you could see, you know, like, back when it happened, you're just like, wait, why is this happening now? Now you see why it was happening.
Right.
That's a Hickman, you know, that's not mumbo jumbo. That is Hickman playing the long game.
Yeah, that was pretty deft. I admit that. So,
that was cool. And is Namor still going to be a member of the team? Or does he run off to set up what we saw on the cover of the New Avengers Time Runs Out issue?
That might be the impetus for it.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something.
That just came to my mind.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to, well, we have already seen in this issue that everybody is in a certain place or is starting to move in a certain place. So let's just say this group is what it is.
Right.
And Kev Walker is on for art. You know him from the Avengers on the cover.
Yeah, I wasn't so keen on the art this issue. You know, it
wasn't his best, I don't think.
You know, like it was a letdown from the last issue, which was so awesome.
Hmm. I'm not familiar with his work that I hadn't read Undercover, but I thought art was passable. Well, not passable, but it was actually pretty good in a couple of plots. And one being notable on the screen now.
Right. I mean, you know, I'm trying to pull up 21. Yeah, see, 21 was Valerio Schiti, and you know the art in that. I think didn't Sal LaRocca? And Sal LaRocca wrapped up, you know, some of the last pages, and it's just hard to go from something that's so clean and so sharp to something that's a little bit more stylized. You know, like last issue, I thought the art was, you know, spectacular. You know, definitely helped tell the story and didn't detract from it at all, as opposed to, you know, this issue where I was kind of distracted by the art, and that's never a good thing.
So, yeah, I'll miss Skitty Valerio.
But you know what's funny is that the best panel in the last issue was drawn by LaRocca at the end. If you go back. You know, if you go back, the best panel in New Avengers number 21 was drawn by LaRocca. So, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, maybe my memory of the book and how well I reviewed it is kind of biased. Well, I mean, I guess skewed because of LaRocca's finishing touches on the book. But in terms of this book, like I said, the reveal where they kind of tie in what happened back in Infinity till now, and they get the ball rolling, they get the story moving in another direction because of it, was, you know, I thought that was just a stroke of, you know, just a great stroke by Hickman playing the long game. I was like, oh, that's where it's coming in. That was pretty cool. I agree with Durton that, you know, they've probably written Namor as well as he can be at this point. You know, he definitely carries some of the real heavy parts of the story in this book, and you know, it's engaging. You read it. He's the pragmatist. He's the one that's saying, "Look, this is how we have to do it," and you know, it just makes for great reading. So I don't, you know, I definitely see this as a click of the week candidate. But for me, the biggest minus is just the distraction the art proved to be for me.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. What do we have here? Yep. So let me bring up something else then. She-Hulk number 7.
Yes.
Filler issue, folks. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. But it's a decent filler issue, I guess, for what it is. So we have. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and get the art part out of the way because. Because I came to a realization. So when the book first started, I had an issue with Javier Pulido's art, which wasn't bad. It was just a little distracting for me. And going into the last couple of issues that had was it Ron Wembley, I believe it was?
Yes, or whoever it was, yeah.
Yeah, and that being totally different kind of made me appreciate him coming back on this one even more. And I'm not saying that Ron Wembley's art was bad. It just didn't seem to fit the book. Like, it was brought up that, like, now what if Mike Allred drew this?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, what if Mike Allred drew this? That would be great. But yeah, it didn't. Pluto's on it, and the art is good. And the story-wise, it being filler and whatnot, was a decent read, but it wasn't so much of, you know, I don't, as far as I know, there wasn't anything. You get a guest appearance by Hank Pym because any story involving things shrinking has to involve Hank Pym. So, I don't want to do that one. But like I said, it was a pretty good read. And it's from what I heard, from what I saw from Charles Soule on his Twitter, actually, I think this morning, was probably reading my mind because I was like, okay, you're just going to go away from the Blue File stuff, huh? And Charles Soule was like, fans of She-Hulk, you know, he's far from done with the Blue File stuff. Mm-hmm. So keep reading. I was like, all right, thank you. That was what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably going to be like the overarching story.
Yeah.
And this is just not filler, but just, you know, I hate to say this, this is almost like the life of a small solo practitioner attorney who also happens to be a superhero.
Right.
Where it's like, you know, like each issue or each couple of issues is going to deal with a case that she picks up, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, and then, and the shenanigans that she gets sucked into because she's also a superhero, right?
Right.
So that's, you know, that's when I read this issue, I was like, oh, okay, so we're back to that. You know, this is a case where, you know, she's got a client, a consultation, and something happens that involves her, that necessitates her to do She-Hulk type things as opposed to legal things. But then, you know, it does sort of get wrapped up, you know, with some legal stuff going on. And I thought that, honestly, what really saved the book for me, I liked the book. I enjoyed, honestly, the last like 2-3 pages.
Yes.
So we are enjoying it still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The last 2-3 pages, I was just like, really? I'm like, this is awesome. You know?
Yeah, sure. And to back up a second, to be clear, you know what? If it was just a book of She-Hulk just kind of getting into the stuff like some of her older books, whatnot, I'm on board with that too, because I enjoy She-Hulk enough to where that's, you know, I'm good with. But that Blue Fox stuff was kind of compelling.
Right. So, well, because there's a mystery involved and you're trying to figure it out. So.
So, but yeah, the last couple of pages of the book was like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Sure. Right. And definitely tying into current events in the Marvel Universe too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got to read the previous issue. I haven't read that one yet, so.
But yeah, like the last, like the next to last and the last page just made me laugh. I was just like, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Well, Tim, I will say you don't really have to read the last issue if you're trying to go into this one.
You can pick this issue up. Pick this issue
and
up.
And the last couple of pages has nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
The art, I wasn't crazy about the last, at least the issue before the last one. I'm assuming it's still the same guy.
Yeah, I think he did like 2 issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but last issue he reined it in a little bit, so it's not as bad as that other issue.
Right, the first issue he did was really hard on the eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. Rapid review time.
Are we there yet?
Why not?
Hey, yeah. Hey, listen, that's I wasn't looking at the time; I was looking at the books.
Let's see, Original Sin 3.4, which was the end of the Hulk versus Iron Man. This ended on a nice note. It's actually the end for both Kieran Gillen and Mark Waid on their respective books as they move on to the Star World side of things. Yep. Next issue of Hulk comes out next week, and that's by Jerry Duggan.
Jerry Duggan. Oh, yeah.
And whatever is set up for Iron Man and Axis, that sets him up to be a douchebag again. And Superior Iron Man.
He sets out to be Tony Jobs Stark.
Yeah. Back to being the arrogant Stark. So you find out that, yes, Tony did tamper with the gamma bomb, but maybe not in the way that you would have believed.
Right. He didn't necessarily sabotage it.
Yes. He might have helped.
Right.
Oh, help. Okay.
Right. But like the Beastie Boy says, it's a mirage. It's a mirage.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one who went to Beastie Boys on that one.
No, because it's sabotage. Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
It's funny. I'm sorry to hijack that review.
That's about it for the review. It was a fun little like versus story going on between these guys. It ended, what did I say for my notes? Everything resolved itself a little too nicely, but overall it was still fun. So yeah, they kind of did a retcon, but not a super duper one.
Right. I liked it. I liked the way they wrapped it up. I liked the fact that they did do some head to head, but then they did sort of have like a literal meeting of the minds. You know, it's like, you know, it's nice to see that. And this has been a developing storyline for a while now, where they're trying to pump up Banner's, you know, intellect to the level of these, you know, the acknowledged geniuses in the Marvel Universe.
And I like that there's a smart Hulk again.
Yes, I do like that. Although we know that this is going in a bad direction in the new Marvel, in the new Hulk book, with the Hulk version of Armor Wars.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll keep it along until they do the next Hulk movie.
Right. Let's see. How about, did anyone read Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 14?
No.
Nope. Honestly, this is the surprise candidate for Click of the Week for me. Believe it.
Well,
believe it. You do not have to have read anything that came before. It's not a standalone issue, because it does, I think, develop from things that have been happening, at least in the recent run of the book. There is an origin told in the story. What is his name? He was a Spidey villain for a little while. He's the guy that can transform cars and make them go really fast. You know, his name escapes me at this point.
Mach 5?
No. But you know, like, if you pick up this book this week, you will not regret it if you just need a good, well-told, you know, funny story. Like, it's you know, like, you sympathize with these villains, not to the level that I guess they're much more, you know, Joe Sixpack, you know, regular Joe type of characters, as opposed to arrogant, you know, Spidey Ock who you want to stab through the page. But you know, these are far more relatable to the everyday person, and you know, they play them off that way. I think this is, you know, one of the better issues this week. It's definitely one of my Click of the Week candidates this week. I recommend that you won't regret picking this book up to read this week.
I am honestly surprised this book is still going on.
Yes. In the solicits, I think every month they come out, they say, not canceled yet.
Yep. I will say I'm enjoying it, since it's back to the regular creative team.
Nice. I haven't read this book in Overdrive. Thank you, Classic Materia, for chiming in, letting me know that that's the name of the character, Overdrive, and his origin is told in this issue, and it's pretty well done. But yeah, I mean, I haven't read Superior Foes of Spider-Man in a while, since I think, was it in this book that they were that Ock was capturing his Sinister Six guys? Was it in this book, or was that another book? Because it's been a long time since I picked up an issue of this.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, see, that's how long it's been. So.
Okay. Anything else? Make it quick.
Yeah, right?
All right, well.
Black Widow, number 9.
There we go. Go for it.
I didn't read it.
Oh.
Saw you did.
Okay. No, I mean, it was, like, as we said before the show, this is, apparently this is the I don't know if you want to necessarily call it a tie-in, but I guess it is with Punisher this week. But, This is a read. You see what's going on from Widow's perspective. She's going in there for one thing. Along comes the Punisher for something else that we really don't know about in this book. And, you know, they have their little, I don't want to say it was a run-in, because not like they fought, but, you know, they have their little team-up time, I guess you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on. So whether you have to read Punisher, I guess we established that you didn't necessarily have to read Punisher.
But it helps.
But it helps, right. So, but it was a good read, though, that said, because, you know, it's Tasha doing a thing. So.
Right. All right, cool. How about, I'm going to throw out my non-superhero Click of the Week this week, Spread number 2. I believe spread number one was a click of the week for Dirt when it came out. I'm not sure how we felt about this issue, and since he picked another book to be his click of the week, I'm not sure, you know, I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to have to find out. Hopefully he lets us know. Anyone who remembers my initial review of this book will remember that I compared it to Lone Wolf and Cub, the Kojima I'm forgetting the other guy's name, but the seminal work of Japanese manga, and there's definitely hints of the Lone Wolf and Cub story in this issue as well. For readers of Lone Wolf and Cub, you will recognize certain aspects involving a baby and a lactating woman. We'll leave it at that.
Oh, I thought you were about to say a cart.
No. At some point, there may be a cart. And if there is a cart with weapons on it, then we're going to have real, real issues with, let's put it this way, originality. Mm. But yeah, there's an aspect of the story that involves a lactating woman. I'm like, oh, wait a second. This was in Lone Wolf and Cub, too. So, you know, I thought that was cool. But otherwise, you know, the creepiness of this book is still there. I know that's right up Dirt's alley. There's a couple of panels in here, kind of what Roddy Cat was complaining about with Kari Andrews' work in Immortal Iron Fist, you know, that were kind of hard to follow. And I'm still not 100% sure if the protagonist, No, in this book has any sort of real powers, or if he's just – I mean, I guess if his power is just being immune to the spread, that's pretty good. But, you know, there's at least one sequence in this book that made me kind of look at it twice and think, well, you know, does this guy have any kind of special abilities, you know, that are just more than just peak human that allow him to combat the spread the way he is? So – but otherwise, you know, this was an interesting read, still very gory, but because I had already read the first issue, it was easy to pick this one up. And with its parallels to the Lone Wolf and Cub story, you know, it made it easy for me to read. So this is my non-superhero click of the week this week. You know, if you're into horror and if you're into, you know, like real kind of gory sci-fi, pick this book up. I think it'll be worth your while.
Lone Wolf and Cub was not a parallel I was expecting to draw from that book.
For spread?
Yeah.
I drew in the first issue, and I think this issue it's even stronger. And if you read Lone Wolf and Cub and you remember what I'm talking about with the lactating woman, it's there.
Okay. I'm slightly piqued, interested.
Right. Like I said, you know, if you're not into the sci-fi and the gore, you might want to try reading the first issue to really get the gist of it so that you don't walk in completely blind into the second issue.
Okay.
All right. Anything else that needs to be done quickly? Original Sin 5.3 is dragging along. This is Thor, Loki, and Angela, and, you know, it was just kind of there this week for me.
Okay.
How was Star-Lord, Tim?
It's all right. Best part to me was Paco Medina's art, and it's a standalone story. You know, I think Sam Humphrey said in a couple of interviews that like the first couple of issues are just going to be one and done stories. So you had the spoiler reveal of his half Star-Lord's half sister, and she's trying to take out the bounty on Quill and turns him over to some bounty hunter person, but then they swindle him and steal all his money, and then you get the reveal of Mr. Knife on the final page.
Okay, that reminds me, I don't think anybody read Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, I gotta read that too.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get a chance to read it.
Yeah, neither did I. Okay, because that sounds slightly similar to what may be going on in that one, but okay.
Cool. All right. So clicks of the week time? I think we ran through all the books that we want. It's a hit.
Yeah, Dirt said his click of the week was New Avengers 22. I didn't get the right number. Yeah, 22.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Mm. Mine is Superior Spider-Man number 32.
Cool.
I believe Agent 70, you said yours was...
I'm torn. And they're two Spidey books, not the main Spidey book that you like, or at least the Superior Spidey book that you like. I'm torn between Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 14 and Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man number 4. You know, those are the books, believe it or not, I actually went back and reread.
Sound like you liked Superior Foes.
Yeah, I mean, I just enjoyed. I had a lot of fun reading that book. I think I'm going to go with that one. That is a true, you know, dark horse click of the week. No pun intended, since I haven't read any dark horse in ages. There we go.
I haven't either, unfortunately.
You know, the true dark horse click of the week for me, Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 14. That, you know, I don't think I've ever gone that far afield for click of the week, and you know, that says a lot about this issue. I definitely recommend it to anyone. You can pick it up and just read it.
Nice. I gotta give it a chance. I'll get to it this weekend, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I might have to check it out. Then that's the case.
Cool.
So I guess for me, I'm kind of torn between Iron Fist and New Avengers number 22.
Good choices.
Yeah, but I think, and this is totally biased fuel in this one, I'm going to go with New Avengers number 22.
Mm-hmm. We enjoy some New Avengers.
Yeah, I mean, the New Avengers hasn't had a point where it wasn't good anyway.
Yeah.
Just kind of brought some stuff home.
Yes. You
know, and started down the path of what we're going to see going outwards.
Mm-hmm.
So plus, sorry, I was going to say something else, but T'Challa and Namor going at it, I've kind of wanted to see that. I would like to see more of that.
I like to see more of it too. I like that they, to a certain extent, they're teasing more of it.
Right.
You know, and, you know, as much as I didn't like the art on this issue, I thought the art that I guess the last we see of it's not the last we see of T'Challa, but the when he's being restrained and he's yelling out, you know, I'm going to kill you if it's the last thing I do or something along those lines.
Yeah.
That was pretty well done. I like that.
And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, there's a part of it that, it's probably because I had just watched this, but Flashpoint Paradox, I just watched that.
DC animated movie.
Yeah, to which I need to go back and read the actual story. But it kind of reminded me of, what could be with Aquaman and Wonder Woman warring. Like, you couldn't see seeds of that anyway, because, you know, they were in earlier books, so they were kind of going back, and I think that kind of came out during Infinity, and that got touched on, like you said, that kind of got touched on.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that stuff that kind of happened in between them. So I was like, okay, if we saw more of that. Now, I kind of hate seeing my boy. I don't know how they would portray him in that one, but, you know, I would still like to see it, you know.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way. Interesting.
So that could be an event all by itself if they really played it properly.
Right.
And Classic says his click of the week is Original Sin 3.4, Banner Stark Bromance FTW.
I don't blame him. I like that book too.
Yeah, that was fun.
I like a lot of books this week.
AKA Science Bros.
Yes.
Or hashtag Science Bros, I guess that was what it was. But
definitely. Definitely. I like that. That's, you know, that's actually, you know, there were a lot of, you know, well done books this week that were candidates to be clicks of the week. And that was, you know, that's a good sign.
Yeah, indeed.
All right. So that about does it for this episode of Comic Book Chronicles.
All right.
Thank you everyone for tuning in live tonight. Shout out to Classic Materia.
Wait, you got to say that again, because I completely drowned you out with with the applause.
I want to thank Classic Materia for tuning in to tonight's show.
Yay!
And if you're watching on the replay of any variety, whether it's the video replay on YouTube or on the theclicknation.com website or podcast, audio podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and at TheClickNation. Agent 70 is at Agent underscore 70. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. And with that, we are Dirt is at PCN underscore Dirt and at the website. So we will see you here live next Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We're the Comic Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace.